Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, first off, I did find out a couple of weeks ago that the kids would be in the service. And I prayed about it, and I felt that the Holy Spirit say that I should continue with what originally God had put on my heart. So you may have to bear with me a little bit, kids, because it's not so children-orientated, but you'll get there. You'll get there. So the title of what I'm going to share on this morning is The One Thing I Do. And as a church, we've been going through the series of Philippians. Is this the last one, or are we still to continue? There'll be another one next week. So, you know, it might seem like there's a bit much, but the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you put that together, it's faith comes by hearing and hearing. Yeah. So just let this morning sink in as we progress further into this. So, let's just pray this morning before I get started. Yeah. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, King Jesus, I pray this morning that You'll be here amongst us, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll open up our hearts to hear Your word today. Father, I pray that everything I say will be nothing of me, Lord, but everything of You. Lord, that Your word would move mightily through our hearts today, Lord. Father, that lives would change from the message which we hear today, not because it's me, Lord, but because it's Your powerful word and the way Your Holy Spirit is sharper than any double-edged sword and cuts through like bone and marrow, Lord. I pray this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So, Philippians 3, verse 12. A bit of a background to the scripture. I know that this has already been provided a few weeks back. Paul is in prison at the time of writing. We don't know which imprisonment. People believe that it's one of three. I think it's his first imprisonment, which we read at the end of Acts 28, which would have also meant that he was writing a letter to Ephesus, Colossae, and Philemon, and of course the church Philippi, or Philippians. And out of all of the churches, it's known that he had the best relationship with the Philippian church. They supported him, they sent money to him whilst he was in prison, and he writes this compassionate letter, which, as Jonathan said a few weeks ago, it is all about Jesus, head to toe. It's where we get that famous verse in Philippians 1 where Paul says, well, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So how about we just stand as we just read one of the verses, stand for the reading of God's word. So I'm going to read Philippians 3, verse 12 in the NIV. And Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, that's us here. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but the one thing I do, I forget what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I love the language there. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. You can take your seats. So Paul starts off by saying, not that I have already obtained all this. So what has Paul not already obtained? Well, if we just read a little bit before, Paul says in verse 10, it talks about him saying, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, for some of us, I must say when I first read that, I glanced over that. But actually what Paul is saying there, that is resurrection something to be attained? Well, of course not. We all know, and we've all been taught in Sunday school, that regardless of who we are or what we do, salvation and resurrection is free to all, and we just accept Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So Paul here is talking about attaining something. Well, what is he talking about then? Because we know that Paul, he knows he's a Christian. He knows he doesn't have to attain resurrection. Well, this word, resurrection, if you flip it into the original Greek, so the word you and I know for resurrection in Greek, and Cos, you might need to confirm this for me, is ananastasti, which ananastasti is a rising up. It's a recovery from a debilitating condition, and it's literally to stand once again. So it's basically restoration from everything, well, back to where we were in square one, back in the garden. We were one with God, and we could move around the garden. There was no shame, no sin. That's what the resurrection is, and that's what we'll experience from our eternal life. But what this word here, the word for resurrection, which Paul is using here, is the only time it's used in the whole of the New Testament. The word in Greek is exanastasti. Exanastasti. There we go. So, because his eyebrows, it says it all. Well, hey. So, exanastasti is just like what we would call a doing word. So, it's basically, when you add the X at the beginning, it means to rise up and to stand in our resurrection and to move out of and in, which I think is incredible. I think it's absolutely awesome, because if you read what we've just read again in context, then it's just so different. Let me read it to you again. So Paul says, I want to know Christ. He's right. Remember, he's in a jail right now. He's in a really bad place. And he says, yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection, to the exanastasti. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Some people, some scholars, they call it the out-resurrection. And that's mentioned again in Revelations, which I'm not going to touch on today because that's a whole other chapter. But the out-resurrection is basically, as you and I can imagine, when Jesus died on the cross. Of course, when he was there on the cross, he had you in mind and the way you are. But Jesus sees us through the eyes of who we are in him. So he sees, and this is where I'm going to bring out the old famous New Life rope, which is a little bit tangled. So we'll do what Phil has taught us, and excuse me at the end where it's a little bit untangled there. So basically, Paul's talking about a race. And when we start as a Christian, we get saved and we're starting to move along that race. But the exanastasti is, well, that's what Paul's goal was. The exanastasti was who he was in going to become in Christ. And that's everything what he's talking about here. He's saying, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at who I am in Christ fully. That's our resurrection here on earth. That's the resurrection of all of the stuff which once tangled us and kept us in the grave. And it's those things which now, as we press on in Christ, we'll start to just move into. And I'll expand on that in a moment. See, Paul was specifying his condition to know Christ. He said to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. So just like I was saying, Jesus was on the cross. And we all know that God has a plan and a purpose and a calling for us. And sometimes in our life, there might be people here this morning which we know that we've got a calling or we've got a direction which we should go in our life. And I'm going to be careful with the word calling, because sometimes when I say the word calling, you think pastor, evangelist, teacher, prophet. Some of us can be called to just be good people, you know? Some of us can be called to be the best parent we can be, the best dad, the best mum, the best brother, the best sister. So take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. And sometimes as Christians, we stumble, like Paul was using this example of a race. And we fall over, and maybe this morning you've fallen over and you've just stayed still and you're just in this one place. And you know that you should be there. Like maybe you had a prophecy years ago, and it's that prophecy you keep turning to. I know that I've had prophecies in my life which are crazy, which I think, my goodness, however am I going to achieve that? But the thing is, man plans, but God directs his steps. And the thing is if we just keep our head down, which Paul, in everything he's talking about, is keeping your head up. Yeah. And Paul is talking about looking at where he's heading. And he's admitting, he's the first to admit that he's not there already. Yeah. But he's basically saying, well, look up and strain towards it. So that means everything you've got, move towards it. So if you struggle with something in your life, and maybe you're like the people of Israel, I mean, they spent 40 years to travel what could have taken 11, maybe 12 days. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been in this place where you're just stuck. This message is for you. The message is look up. And I think it's so exciting that God has put this message on the heart of the pastoral team. Because what God is saying through this, he's saying, yeah, okay, New Life, you're a saved family of believers. That's great. But there's so much more. There's the exanastasi. And this message of the we've had over the last couple of months, it's all about pressing into more of Jesus. So one thing Paul says, he says, I do not consider that I have made it on my own yet. So what Paul is saying here is that this race is not an independent one. One of the biggest lies of the enemy is he wants to make you feel that you're on your own and that you're the only one who's struggling or going through a real tough time or having trouble with a job or having trouble with a sickness or battling. And friends, New Life Family Church isn't just a social club. New Life Family Church is a group of people who go through the thick of life all together. And all of us have got this race in front of us. Which it almost reminds me of, if you've seen Bruce Almighty, the two filing cabinets, what I had planned for you and what you did achieve in your life. And it's like all of us have got something which we're moving towards. Some of us have just stood still. All to do this morning is just look up and look to Jesus and start moving towards it. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, like Jonathan said a few weeks ago, it's all about looking towards Jesus. Paul was as a runner. He was stretching every nerve. He saw but one goal and attainment, and he pressed that way. Nothing else mattered as far as he was concerned. Others might push for honor. Others might push for fame, for wisdom, or for wealth. But Paul, he pressed for something which lay ahead of him. How many of us are spending all their energies on mere trifles or things which just last for a day? How many set their affections on things down here? They lay up treasures on earth and they look on things which are seen. Well, friends, the best starting place is looking towards Jesus. And that can be practically. So, as we turn, it becomes easier. You see, the thing with us by nature is when we get in a bit of a predicament or something which is holding us back, we just look down and we look at it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like we say, oh gosh, how many people have come to you and said, oh gosh, I have tried everything and I just can't seem to do this. And Paul is saying the complete opposite here. He says, well, some people say I've tried everything. And Paul says, the one thing I do. He says, the one thing I do is just look to Jesus. Use everything what you've got for God and the purposes of God. And as you stretch towards that, then that's when you'll start to see a breakthrough. I'm telling you, that's when you'll start to see a breakthrough. Satisfaction in what you do doesn't matter. You see, sometimes, and what I mean by that, I'll explain. Sometimes we're in a race, and I'll look at my friend Dan or George, and I'll say, gosh, well, look at what God's doing in his life. And gosh, Dan, he's a great drummer, and George is great at preaching, and I wish I could be like him. And then I start looking at his line and looking at his goal, and then suddenly I'm walking out of mine, and then I stumble, and it's going to do two things. I'm going to collide with him as well and what God's doing in their life, and I'm going to move further away from mine. So this morning, turn to your neighbor and say, that's not my race. That's not my race. And this is biblical. This is biblical. The reason why is that we know from the parable of the talents. So the servant, the servant man, he said, I'm going away. And he went to three of his servants. The master said to three of his servants, he said, to you, I'm going to give 10 talents. To you, I'm going to give 5. And to you, I'm going to give 1. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, they're all going to work together, but it means they've all got what God has given to them. They've got what God's given to them, and they're responsible for what God has given to them. And it doesn't really matter if, you know, I can look at that, look at George, but it doesn't matter to me. I've got to focus on where I'm going with God. However, there is one other thing, though. Of course, like I said, we're a body of believers. So in 2 Corinthians 1, it talks about the God of all comfort. And with the same comfort he gives us, we give to others. So there is a space for us being real and a space for us being honest with what we're going through and supporting each other as we go along throughout our lives. Let me give you an example. We all know the story of the Gentile lady who, it almost sounds like Jesus was being rude when he says, the Gentile lady comes along and she says, my daughter's demon possessed, she's not well, can you heal her? And Jesus said, I've come for the Jews, I've come for the lost of Israel. And she says, please. And Jesus says, no, it's not right for me to take the food and toss it to the dogs. And the Gentile lady, she said, yes, that's true, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And that was the lady. She was straining forward. Like she was straining forward. And that's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. Are you reaching forward this morning or are you standing still? Well, how do you get to a point where you strain forward to that goal? Because I could assume this morning that we're all ready to go and we all know that we've got this goal and we wake up every day and we're excited by it. But maybe some of us here today, we were that way 30 years ago when we first became a Christian, but we've been stuck in the same place. We need God to rekindle that for us. Well, a few weeks ago, me and Jess, we had, those of you might know, Mike Skelton over. He came over for dinner and he told us this story about how do you create desire. And it was really cool because he said, imagine that we're preaching and we're in this room in Barbados right now. And I've been preaching a little bit over time, maybe 4 hours. It's hot and sunny. And you are so thirsty. You're so thirsty. And then suddenly somebody comes down the middle of the room with a trolley full of ice cold water. And you think, that's what I need. That's what I need. And the Bible tells us that where there is no vision, the people will perish. And it's so important for us to take sight of what we need in God's word. And how do we get there? Well, Paul uses this example all over the Bible about running the race. He uses it in 1 Corinthians 9, Hebrews 12, where he talks about, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we press on, laying aside every weight and sin. Well, if we use what we know from running, then, and this is just something I came up with just this morning, so bear with me on this. There are 5 things we can take sight of over this. The first thing is food. So reading God's word, that's so important. And being honest, sometimes it's hard to get into God's word. And sometimes, like if you want to set yourself with a routine to read God's word, you want to get up every day and do it, and you struggle, how many of us can resonate that we've just done this? We've just looked down? Anybody else done that? I know I have. But what Paul is telling us is, well, that's okay. Like, I haven't got there. Paul's saying, but strain forward. Do everything you can to get into that. See what God has given to you and keep moving towards it. The other one is coaching. So every runner needs a coach. Me and Jess saw this documentary of a runner, which it was absolutely amazing. That she was an Olympic runner, but on her own, she really would be nothing at all. That's what she was saying. Like, it's through the work of her mum, what she feeds her, through the help of her her personal trainer, through the coaching of the people around her, she becomes who she is. And get into coaching. Get into coaching, get into God's word, listen to audiobooks, listen to podcasts, press on towards where you're going. Yeah. Water, this one is my favorite. We all need water. I know you've drunk from this, Phil, but it's okay. Letting God refresh you. Yeah. This is my favorite thing. As the deer pants, so for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Where can I go and meet with you, God? And you know, sometimes when I lay awake at night and I'm thinking about the things of the day and I can't sleep, I need to tell myself, well, that's not my race. This is where I need to look, and I need to spend time in God's presence. And as I pray and as I look towards that, I find rest. It's so important. The fourth one is encouragement. We have each other. We should be encouraging each other. Rather than when I look at George and Dan in his race or anybody else and thinking, gosh, I wish I could be more like them. I should be encouraging them. We're a team. We're a team here, guys. And then the last thing is exercise, which this is faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen, the evidence of those, the things hoped for. And that is, that's our exercise, like it's putting it into practice. So this morning, if you know that God has put a calling on your life, then I encourage you to strain towards it. Don't let anything hold you back from moving closer towards the purposes and the things of God. The one thing we do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How about let's just stand together this morning? So this morning, there is exanastasti in each and every single one of us. There's something more. As Paul said, I haven't got there, but I'm moving towards that. This morning, take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of you. Don't take hold of other things. Don't look at the problem. Don't look down, but look up. Don't spend 40 years to travel what could take 11 days. And I'm not just talking about time this morning. I'm talking about potential in Christ. I know I'm the worst at this. This morning, I felt that I should go and speak to Phil because I felt that there was a particular prayer need. And I missed out on that. I didn't go and share it. So I'm not practicing what I preach. But I know that God's forgiving, and I know that I can press on towards that goal. And maybe, who knows what would have happened this morning? That's the thing. Who knows what would happen? Think about the potential. Your potential in Christ. All of us are in a race. Many of us this morning have stopped, looked back, fallen, and that could be any definition of fallen. That could just be we've had a bad feedback. It could be that we've got caught in sin. It could be that we've just lost our passion. For some, it may be a ministry. Some, it might be a service. Or for others, it might just be a victory in your life, a display of God's glory. The one thing we do, forget what is behind, strain towards what is ahead, and press on for what Jesus wants. Let this become your goal amongst anything else. So as we draw to a close this morning, I'm not going to do any type of altar call or anything like that, because we're a team. So what we're going to do this morning is, if you resonate with what I've shared about, then all I ask you to do is just look up, as what Paul says. So look up and look towards all that God has made you to be. Recount those old prophecies every single day. Let them stir up in your heart what people have said to you, what you felt God impress on your heart. And now with us looking up, look around. Look around and see other people. And just think, wouldn't it be amazing if we could see with the eyes of Christ? Like, I can look at wonderful people and I can see that all God has called them to be. Well, you know, you can. You can. By his Holy Spirit, he can help you see that through his eyes. So I don't know how to draw to a close. Yeah, I think what we should do, I think we should get in small groups. I think we should pray for each other and get into the practice of if there is something which you resonate with or it's stirred in your heart this morning, then maybe mention it. You don't have to give detail, but you just say, you know, I've had this for years and I feel that God said this, or I'm really bad with my temper and I want to be a good brother. Kids, if you're here and listening. Something like that, and pray. I think let's do that together as we finish up.